Classy Ring Attire. My name's Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Put on some music.
Oh, that kind of classy.
I'm coming home.
Oh, I'm coming home. What's funny is usually I'm the one that used that on you to annoy the crap out of you.
I know. How does it feel?
I mean, I was going to use it later in the show anyway, so it feels fine.
All right, so we are but one show away from WrestleMania.
We are getting so close.
Home stretch, guys.
Almost there. And you know what? I'm getting excited. I know last week we were just all so boring, there's nothing to talk about. But I feel like this week's Raw made a lot of strides to put us on the right track. I'm not saying I'm full on, like, you know, streamers flying, I'm ready for everything at WrestleMania. I'm excited. I think a lot of that has more to do with the fact that it's just getting closer to the day.
Yeah. During Raw this week was the first time I had like a real big working on the slides session. I spent like 3 hours working on the slideshow, and that was like, yeah, I'm starting to get excited. And I'm getting excited for the event more than for what they're presenting still, because I'm, you know.
I said slideshow. We will make sure it is available.
Yes.
To the general public.
Yes, we will make sure that the slideshow is somehow available.
However we decide.
Still figuring it out, but it will be available.
I was about to say even if I have to email every one of you personally, but that would be creepy.
Yeah, that wouldn't be. But that was the thing where I was like, WrestleMania time.
Right. Actually had the motivation to sit down and go forward with it.
Right. And, you know, and that's part of it, is it's a holiday, and just the excitement for...
Right, it's what I said back during Royal Rumble. This is wrestling's 4th of July. All the fireworks, all the hot dogs...
The spectacle.
The spectacle, you know?
Yep. So...
It's a reason to get drunk with your friends.
Yeah,
Unless you don't drink, then you just eat a lot of pizza.
It's a reason to pizza with your friends.
There we go.
Unless pizza means something on Urban Dictionary that I don't know, then it might not be a reason to pizza with your friends.
Go ahead, start talking. I'll search for it.
It's a thing that, you know, how, like, I have to be careful with what, you know, what nouns I verbalize.
Yeah, exactly, because we don't know exactly what.
Because, thanks, Internet. But anyway, this week, and we've kind of, over the past 3 weeks, there's been the three big matches, lineups, and, you know, they've kind of focused on one each week, and this week's, probably, for me at least, was Rock and Cena.
Right.
You know, the one that, if anything helped, it was this week, for me.
Absolutely. And I would say I got a little bit more excited for Punk and Taker. Because, I mean, it was a Punk promo. It was a, you know, it was a Punk promo. And I feel like nowadays it seems like that's really all it takes to validate a storyline these days.
No, it does.
Because now it seems like they're actually kind of fighting for something. Although it seems like they're kind of fighting for the urn.
Yeah.
Which it can be silly, but, you know, I'm going with it.
Well, you know, one of my problems with WWE as of late is how predictable it has been. You know, I watch partially for the swerve and the, you know, unexpected turns and stuff. But for the, you know, so much of this WrestleMania, we already called, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. And
right.
Is just waiting for the storyline to finally fall into place. And now, I don't say this as I'm endorsing some of the terrible swerves and unexpected twists that happen.
Right.
No. So don't take this as a, okay, let's go crazy now. No. But for this particular thing, it's, you know, and all that added on the fact that it's so, so painfully obvious that CM Punk can't win.
Right.
He can't break the streak this close to 30. He can't not be punished for
all the dastardly things he's
disrespect
doing.
For Paul Bearer.
Right.
But the thing is, the way that Punk talks and the way that he can cut a promo when it's just Punk and Mike, you know, in a ring, it can still plant that "but what if" seed.
Right.
And for that moment that he's talking, I'm like, oh.
I'm pretty sure Punk could, if he wanted to, I'm not saying he wouldn't do this, if he wanted to be a leader of a cult, I think he would run a very successful cult.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very, very persuasive.
That's, yeah.
I mean, that's how he got to us.
Yeah, that's what Straight Edge Society was, and it was a absolutely. Cult you were supposed to boo. But.
Absolutely, and that's essentially what New Nexus turned into, and until it kind of got ran to the ground with the whole thing with Orton.
Yeah.
But, absolutely, yeah. Quick Urban Dictionary update. Pizza means pizza.
Okay.
So we're good.
You can't infect pizza with your friends.
We can keep our rating.
All right.
So, it okay, it's, I would like a little bit more on Mike from Taker, but I go back and forth on that.
Yeah.
A little bit would like to see a little bit more back and forth between them, because, you know, Taker isn't a slouch on the microphone. Like, we know he has definite promo and mic skills. On the other hand, it kind of feels like he's letting his legacy and letting his... the legend of The Undertaker speak for itself, which is I'm completely okay with, because, I mean, there's sometimes you don't even need to, you know, reply to something.
Well, you know.
Because if you keep replying to something the other person said, you turn into Lesnar and Triple H.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially repeating yourselves over and over again.
Where they have to come out to the ring and be like, last week on Raw, I replied to the previous week on Raw, where Lesnar was talking about the previous week on Raw.
And this week I'm just going to restate that fact and kick Wade Barrett in the nards.
Why did he do that?
Because it's Triple H, brah. He does what he wants.
You think he's just like walking to creative, like kicking his head into the creative? He's like, guys, I haven't kicked anybody in the balls lately. Let's get on that, please.
All right.
Okay, thanks, bye.
All right, guys, who should be the sacrificial lamb? Oh, Wade Barrett, he's British.
Our Intercontinental Champion? Yes.
Absolutely. Bring out the shovel.
He's not important. Burying time. I'm like, I was too confused to be upset.
Bring Cesario, we'll bring two buckets. Like, you would, oh, my God, yeah. It's one of those things where it's just, I don't. My brain just can't comprehend.
I don't.
That level of
words.
I don't know if there's like a bigger plan to this. I don't think so,
because it was announced that Wade Barrett's going to fight Miz at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania, yeah. I'm pretty sure this is a one-off or two-off, if you really count.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry, I had hand gestures for Joel.
That doesn't sound any better. He said the word balls. I think we'll be fine with the word balls.
Can I say balls?
Yeah, I think you can say balls.
Can we continuously say balls?
No. It's like using the F word in a PG-13 movie. You only get so many times.
I think we used our fair share
of our quota. Oh, no, we have... No, you ruined it.
So, Wade Barrett got kicked in the man lower regions.
He got kicked in the only clothing he was wearing.
His shoes?
I guess. I mean, his shoes, and he has, like, knee pads on, but whatever.
And his elbow pads.
Does Wade Barrett wear elbow pads?
Yeah. Dude, he has the whole, because they kind of, like, bulked up his elbow ever since,
The injury?
Ever since the injury, and ironically, that's the elbow he uses to do the bullhammer with.
Can he not use the other one? Does he?
I mean, he just always does.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's something it occurs to me every now and then, like, you know, is... You know, the people's elbow is always the same elbow, and, you know, is it allowed to be the other one? Does it still count as a finisher?
I think it's more just, you know, that's their dominant hand.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why it is what it is, but,
yeah.
You know, it goes to the thing where the, you know, inherent problem with finishers is why is this move any better than other moves? Especially when it's the people's elbow, which is an elbow drop.
Right.
Which is a standing elbow drop. And why is Edge's spear so much more painful than Batista's spear?
Or Caitlyn's.
Yeah. Why Caitlyn?
I don't know. She uses the spear. I felt like throwing her in there.
But, you know, you're supposed to not be able to kick out of Edge's spear when you can't kick out of everybody else's spear. When Big Show does a spear, it's not a finisher. Although, I think I'd rather have Edge spear me than Big Show.
I don't know.
Yeah, because at the end of the spear, they're on top of you.
Their weight is on top of you. Yeah, there's that, sure.
So I would totally rather have Edge. I mean, it would hurt.
I'm not taking
anything away from Edge's spear.
I'd rather take one from Caitlyn.
Well, of course. But those aren't your options.
But that's also her finishers, and apparently no diva can get out of a pin after that.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, bam.
I'm saying I don't like finishers.
Chris, you don't like finishers.
I don't like finishers.
You don't like finishers at all.
As a general concept, no, I don't like finishers.
But how do you know when you finally put away a wrestler? Because that's always like the exclamation point to the match.
I know. I think that either finishers need to be used much more sparingly, like 3 a year.
Holy crap.
No, I am. I am.
All right.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. The way that they use kicking out of finishers should be just be the way that they use finishers.
There you go. But it used to be a thing where, like, only the big matches at WrestleMania would get that treatment.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with that. Like, as far as too many people just, you know, kicking out of finishers at No Way Out or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, or even on, you know, Raw.
Yeah, or to a, like, a non-title, non-like,
right.
Not really big
meaning match. And here's the thing, also, yeah, it's okay if it's a really good match. That match on Raw a couple of weeks ago.
There you go, and it had a lot of implications in the end, yeah.
Kick out of all the finishers you want. That was, you know,
right.
That match, the build-up to that match, when it eventually would have a kick out of the finisher, that's okay. The payoff is there.
Because, I mean, you do realize with Taker and Punk, you're going to get at least 2 tombstones, I would say at least 3 last rides, maybe even Hell's Gates, and at least 4 GTSs.
Very, very probable. That's the thing, is that they keep having to, you know, throw on top stuff. If you get less than 2 tombstones, you know,
right.
At this match, you're going to feel cheated.
Right. And I mean that was my real gripe with the Taker's matches in the past few years. Granted, they're great matches and they're a lot of fun to watch, but they oversaturate you with all the finishers.
Yeah, and
you're drowning in finishers. Is what I'm saying.
And the thing that I would like to see in place of finishers, if I was taking a hard stance, no, and I'm not really, but if I was taking a hard stance, no finishers, I would want to say, that was an impressive looking move. I don't think that right. They can get up from it.
I think Ziggler is an interesting case in this situation, especially lately, because it seems like he uses the zigzag and everything that usually gets most people away. Every now and then he'll bring out the super kick when he really needs it.
Yeah.
And apparently that has more power than his zigzag in the WWE mythos or whatever. But I think that's an interesting way to go about it. Have, like, your go-to move that usually puts people away, but if that doesn't work, you have this other move that could really get them.
Yeah.
You know.
But then you have stuff like the 18-second match where, you know, he got his finisher off right at the beginning, and so it's like, why don't you just do that? Why is it not just people trying to land finishers?
Because a lot of these finishers, you'll look like the all the fight scenes in Team America. Just puppets on strings just dangling against each other.
Yeah.
That's essentially what we would get.
Fair enough, but I'm saying in, you know, if you have this move that no one can kick out of, if you have this super kick.
Absolutely. From a logistical standpoint, your premise makes complete sense. It just wouldn't look very pretty.
No, I know.
It would look hideous.
No, it would. And
because the first thing a lot of guys would do would just run to the top turnbuckle.
Yeah. And that's why at the end of the day, I'm not really, like, mad at finishers. Every time I see a finisher, I don't just sit here and, like, rub my hands in anger and finish
it. It's like, nope. Should have done it sooner. Nope.
This is not, I don't stroke a cat with a, you know, bejeweled hand in a swivel chair as I glower at finishers happening.
So but you're the bad guy from Inspector Gadget?
Claw? Dr. Claw?
Yeah, Dr. Claw.
Did you not know his name?
It took me a second. I'm just impressed that I remember Inspector Gadget.
You should be able to remember Inspector Gadget.
I remember the theme song more than that.
Well, of course, that's really. Do you know who voiced Inspector Gadget?
We talked
about Yu-Gi-Oh! Last week. Do you really?
Yeah, I can't think of his name, though.
Alright, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you so that we don't. It's the guy who does Maxwell Smart from Get Smart.
I was just going to say Get Smart Guy.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know his name.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I totally know his name.
See? How does it feel?
Oh, it feels bad, man.
Exactly.
Oh, and you know why it's going to be worse? Is in about 20 minutes, it's going to come to me, and everybody's going to believe I looked it up while we were doing this podcast.
It's like Urban Dictionary break.
Oh, man. Anyway, moving on. Back to wrestling. Because it's not Don Knotts. It's, oh, crap. Oh, well. Never mind.
It's Don something, isn't it?
No, maybe. I'm going through Madonna. I'm like, Don Bluth? No, don't look it up, Chris. Don't stay strong.
All right.
I have to know that I can remember this.
Okay.
Anyway, back to wrestling. And speaking of finishers, how I could have totally transitioned this if I had gotten sidetracked. Speaking of finishers, I want to get to the comments on that John Cena made at his...
Yes, at the debate? Q&A session? Comic-Con knockoff?
Yeah. The whatever that was. Mick Foley was on. Silent cheer for yay for Mick Foley real quick.
Very, very.
And then,
I do like that they brought Dusty.
Yeah, that was cool.
I like Dusty.
I like Dusty.
He's fun.
Everyone
was just, you know, but, excited to see Bret Hart. Didn't really need to hear from him, but okay. And same goes for Booker.
There's this really sad picture that somebody freeze framed the rock bottom moment.
Yeah,
and Mick Foley has this wide face.
Everyone's like really like taken aback by what's happening, and Bret Hart just couldn't care less.
I was like, uh-huh.
He was just like, all right, we done yet?
Somebody is not invested in this match. You and me, Bret Hart.
Well, I mean, Bret Hart. From what I understand, Bret Hart. Well, it's not like this is an exclusive club or anything, but he's not a big fan of The Rock. Just
yeah.
Because of the way he does the sharpshooter, apparently
yeah.
He turns the wrong way. I
yeah.
think that's what it is.
I've heard that.
And again, like, you know, there's a lot of people that Bret Hart doesn't like. Triple H is probably one of them. Along with Shawn Michaels, probably still to this day. Probably most everyone that was in the ring last night. Except for John Cena, because they're jort buddies.
Yes. They get together and swap jort stories. Can't you see him, like, knock on
guys,
the
guys.
Like,
Brett, Hitman, you really got to try these camo shorts.
The denim.
These denim jeans shorts are the best there was.
But Hitman, the write-up of the denim.
It doesn't matter. They're the best there is, the best there was, and they're the best there ever will be. There will never be any sort of short material that is better
sort
than
of short. Well done.
I got it.
I know. That's I compliment you.
I wasn't sure if you're being sarcastic.
No, I am impressed at your literary ability.
Thank you. It won't last long.
Anyway,
these shorts are the
you
the
can't do it now.
Execution of excellence right here.
My point is that I'm really trying to get at that Serious Cena worked really, really well.
Right, and Rock just kind of threw out his same old tired thing.
Rockhead, I didn't mind The Rock at this one.
It's just one of those things where it's just like one of those issues where, like, as soon as something comes out of your mouth, or as soon as something comes out of his mouth, you can automatically think of a rebuttal that completely nullifies everything he just said.
Yeah.
I did that. I found myself doing that a lot with Rock, less so with Cena.
Yeah.
Like, with Cena, I was like, oh, okay, it's a legit point. You know, I know everyone does this whenever Punk is saying a promo. Because that's the fun thing about him. He can get heat just by telling you what actually happened.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I mean,
that's what I found myself doing that with Rock last night.
I didn't mind Rock. Largely because, you know, catchphrase Rock was right at the beginning and it tapered off into Serious Rock. And
in telling us another one of his hobo stories.
Yeah.
He has just a wealth of hobo stories.
He does, fair enough.
I slept on a mattress that was soaked in human liquid.
But I do think Cena won the mic battle of the
absolutely,
night.
Yeah. I would, just because... and I mentioned this in my column, is just we felt like we actually had a human response out of the robot character that we know as Super Cena. Like,
yeah.
You know, him finally saying that, you know, you didn't beat me, I beat myself because I was essentially showboating. Or that, I thought that would be the one thing that could do the Rock in. I felt like that it kind of gave some weight to this entire feud.
Yeah.
You know?
It justified.
And even explained why it was called Once in a Lifetime to him. Like,
yeah.
Because to me, I thought it was going to be Once in a Lifetime.
Yeah. It justified, you know, to a degree, why I should care about this feud again.
Exactly.
Because I've seen this match, and, you know, the reason you usually have to care about something like this is because of outside interference or of, you know, blah, blah.
Or outstanding other circumstances, yeah.
And this was a cleanly fought match that was won for...
That was pretty much just
all accounts.
Straight up and down.
Rock versus Cena, Rock wins. And so, Cena gave us... You know, reasons why it was worth it to why this isn't automatically a repeat of last year.
Right.
I do like that he acknowledged the starting the people's elbow.
Yeah.
Because honestly, that was weird last year.
Yeah.
Like we thought it was shades of a heel turn possibly.
Right. It definitely felt. Pardon the pun, out of character.
Yeah.
Or pun intended, I don't care. It was out of character. It was completely disjointed from everything else Cena was doing that night.
Right.
So you're telling me that they probably planned this out, like, 2 years ago?
I don't know. I'm really curious, like...
Last year. Yeah, 2 years ago, yeah. Because it would have start back in 2011, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really curious, like, when... They, like, the first early contacts with The Rock, like, coming back, you know.
Well, if I take it back into the time travel machine, back around, I want to say, I think I heard this, like, on the night of WrestleMania, that next night on Raw, WWE really wanted to announce another match a year ahead of time again. Part of me thinks that they were going to announce this. The rematch.
Really?
Yeah. But then they, you know, they finalized everything with Brock Lesnar, and I think they went back on that. It's like, let's focus on Brock right now, then we'll come back to The Rock whenever he comes back.
Yeah. I've heard some stuff about that. I very much feel like, do not announce another match a year in advance.
No.
That was a failed experiment.
Right, that was an experiment.
Good on you for trying it. No,
it was an experiment that needed to be tried. We went through it, we barely lived through it, and we're moving on.
It was a bad idea, and I understand why you have it. I get that, you know, maximum amount of time for build-up.
Yep.
Great idea. This was the match to do it on, you know. Roxina, that was the one that merited a year build-up, theoretically.
On paper, yeah.
Didn't work, don't do it again. Stop it. No.
Right.
But, you know, they contacted The Rock. The Rock's come back. He's going to come back to host WrestleMania 27.
Right.
And I'm really curious how much of this was planned. Because essentially, The Rock has come back and only feuded with Cena.
Right.
Like, he said some snarky things to Miz, and he had matches with Punk.
And but his main focus has always been Cena.
Yeah.
Because essentially, because Rock started trash talking with Cena pretty much right out the gate.
No, that opening promo was, like, a little bit of it was about Miz, because Miz was champion at the time, but it was really about Cena.
Right.
Like, that was, so I, like, at that point I was like, I gotta imagine from that point they had the year build-up idea already pretty much locked in place, and that Rock and Cena would be WrestleMania 28. I mean, they knew that it was going to be in Miami at that point, so.
Right, yeah. They,
But I don't know, because the other thing is, like, that so felt like a passing the torch match. I still think that the Rock victory outcome was not set in stone until much, much later when they knew that there would be more Rock time. I think if The Rock genuinely was a one-and-done kind of thing, it would have been one-in-a-lifetime scene. It would have been Rock and Hulk. But if The Rock says, yeah, he'll keep coming back, then they're going to ride that train.
Yeah.
There's no getting
Because
on.
They're saying he'll be at 30, too.
Yeah.
So, we might get, like you said earlier, thrice in a lifetime.
I don't think we'll get thrice. I hope we don't get thrice in a lifetime. Will that be the first... time that two guys have gone against each other three times in a row at WrestleMania? I know it won't be. I know it won't be the
maybe. Like I know Hulk had his streak of being in the main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah, for the first number of years. First eight WrestleManias or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about like the same two people having a match.
Yeah, because I know that even just recently, like Shawn and Undertaker was two in a row, and I know that Undertaker and Triple H have had three matches. Right, and Rock and Stone Cold have had three matches, but that wasn't in a row, was it?
No, not in a row. I don't think. So. I think there was at least a year between one and two.
Yeah.
And then they did the third. I think the third one was
because it's
right after the second.
Stone Cold Rock. Because the third one was Stone Cold retirement match, right?
Yeah. Because
not having watched live during the time, I've seen all of this stuff out of order and like
yeah. Didn't Stone Cold beat the first won the first two?
Stone Cold did he win the first two? I thought
yeah. Because the whole reason for the last one was like Rock's. It's like I've never beaten Stone Cold.
I thought the whole reason was we're 1-1. We need to find the winner.
Some part of me remembers it like that being like Rock's. Like, his main focus at the point is, like, I have to be Stone Cold at WrestleMania. That's the one thing I haven't done yet. I think that's what it is.
You can look that up if you want.
Okay.
So, but don't you dare look up who was the voice of Inspector Gadget.
I will not look up who the voice of Inspector Gadget. Right, yeah. I have a text.
Oh, no, I don't care.
No? I can't reply to my texts?
No.
Oh, yeah, the people are listening. Hi, yes. People.
But while you fiddle with your phone, the thing is that you have to have. There are very few things that merit two times at WrestleMania. I don't think Rock and Cena. It doesn't feel like it is. And the only thing that I can think of that has merited that I was excited to see a WrestleMania rematch like that is Shawn and Undertaker. Like, you know, when Undertaker came out and challenged Triple H for last year, and Triple H walked away. I'm like, yeah, storyline development. Here we go. I like this, but you know, of course, no, and whatever. But that one did not, and that feels to me a little bit like, you know, kind of what CM Punk said in his match or in his promo where he talked about the finality of Undertaker's streak career ending with beating DX, beating these two guys. And if I was to write the streak to be unbroken, I think that beating Shawn and walking away at 18-0 is a more powerful image than beating Taker or beating Triple H and walking away 20-0.
So you're doing great.
That's all I have to say on that.
I'm still looking.
Why does it take so long to look? Just look up who you fought. Jeez.
I'm
not. All right, let's move on to the question. So, because I can, you know, talk about that for a little bit.
Okay.
Question for the week is, and it comes to us from rumors that Kofi Kingston might be getting a heel turn when he, at some point after WrestleMania. Kofi has pretty much been a face his entire WWE career. And so my question for you is, it doesn't have to be Kofi, but pick a guy and how would you turn him heel? And to keep this from being just how would you turn Cena heel again, it has to be a mid-card guy. And basically our, you know, kind of rationale for that is somebody who has never held one of the two big belts. And how would you either turn a heel face or turn a face heel.
Right.
So, Chris?
And essentially, we would be choosing guys who've never turned. Like, people who've gone their entire career.
People who have, or when they turned, there was really no point to it. You know, some guys
in that case, R-Truth. turn him back heel. Because that's the time hit, because he's never held a major championship.
You're right. I didn't even think about Archer.
And him, he's doing nothing as a face right now, and he hasn't done anything as a face for a while.
Yeah.
Except for being a tag team with Kofi.
Yeah.
So turn him heel, and all of a sudden he's back on the gravy train, I think.
I had not considered R-Truth.
You're welcome.
So.
I'm still looking.
Is that a Sandow thing?
Do what?
Is that a Sandow thing?
You're welcome, yes.
I mean, the ones I was mulling over, I was like, you know, basically anybody you ever believed in, like, just, you know, in kind of a last ditch effort to do it, get Ted DiBiase Jr. back on the heel train in some major big bad way. I would have him heel through, Road Scholars, like try and give him heelish tactics to defeat these other heels who are pretty entertaining as heels to the point where I don't think it will be long before they start getting legitimate, you know, cheers from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So you can easily get him through there, healed on a hot streak to, at least, you know, mid-card area. Same thing with, like, Zack Ryder. He could
play off of what he's been saying on Twitter.
There's, like I said, there's legitimate, like, beef with the company and underappreciation thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to, like, spotlight John Cena as the main problem for something like that.
Right.
Because, you know, he was Cena's buddy, and then Cena dropped him when more important things came along. So, those are the easy heel turns. You know, I was trying to come up with a face turn, but, like, the easy, you know, one there is Drew McIntyre, because somebody at some point believed in Drew McIntyre.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and he is a heel now, although I really like where he is right now and don't want him to leave.
Because you're one of the few people that really like 3MB.
3MB!
You are loving 3MB.
Not loving 3MB, but I'm deeply entertained by 3MB.
Again, point still the same.
Yeah, someday you'll understand. Someday you'll understand.
Fair enough.
I mean,
okay.
Getting 3MB is like getting a heel Santino. Like, I don't want gold glory for 3MB, but, you know, that's just the kind of thing where having entertaining heels is, I think, a valid a thing as having entertaining faces.
Wikipedia update. Rock and Stone Cold, they faced every other year.
Okay.
None of them were back-to-back. Stone Cold won the first two, Rock lost the last one. The first two were for the WWE Championship. Last one was just grudge.
And Stone Cold beat both Stone Cold for two and Rock for one?
Rock beat the last one, and that was Stone Cold's last match.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So, and Stone Cold is one of the very few to have not come back.
Not for, like, an actual match.
Yeah.
He's come back plenty of times.
No, he's come back plenty of times.
Right.
But, you know, as far as he retired, his retirement match has been his retirement match so far.
He's been retired for 10 years.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. It was 2003.
As much as I want to see him, you know, do the Stone Cold CM Punk that we all want to see.
We don't. I really think we're getting close to that window closing.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like it was a short period of time where he had recovered enough and he, you know, spent enough time away from it to where everything kind of recovered for him to come back, do this one program, this one match, and then be gone for good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like just from age, I feel like we're closing that window, getting close to it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I it's obviously something that I want to see.
Right.
But I'm reminded of, and this is an extreme example, but I'm reminded of, I think it was in 2009, there was a Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair match on TNA. And
yeah.
just like, by names, that was a match I've longed to see. You know, that was match for the ages. It was a sad, sad match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, one, Ric Flair never really stopped at any point.
Right.
I don't really know if Hulk Hogan did too. I don't remember. But if he did, it wasn't for very long.
Right.
I just think that would be different with Stone Cold, just because he had so much time off. So I think there would be a little bit more spring in the step than.
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, Stone Cold, for Stone Cold to come back for anything, it has to be at least a 5-star match.
Right.
You know, it has to be a pay-per-view defining match. It has to be a you know, year defining match.
So Stone Cold versus Yoshitatsu.
Of course.
Obviously.
No, it has to be Stone Cold versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Unless they dump somebody else to the stars really quickly that could actually put on a technical 5-star match.
That would click the way that Stone Cold and CM Punk.
Sadly, I don't think Tyson Kidd is going to recover quick enough for that.
No, he's not. But even more importantly, he doesn't. Like, the personalities are there, the pro-beer, anti-beer thing. Like, it is tailor-made. It is
both incredible.
There's a yellow brick road to glory.
This is like, the anti-hero passing of the torch.
It is, but to do that, it has to be a perfect match.
And see, that's something I always wanted to thought, like, how does Stone Cold feel about this whole, like, passing of the torch talk? Because I'm pretty sure at times he's at home, like, I got a torch too, you know, like, what the crap's going on? Like, of course he wouldn't use those words, but, you know, like, what is all this whole, oh, he's the, you know, Rock is the great one and all that stuff. Pretty sure we ruled that time together, like, kind of off and on with each other.
Yeah,
because when you talk about, like, how great the Rock was, Stone Cold is right up there with him.
Yeah. I don't know, because it does feel like, you know, it feels to me like the leader, the you know, the guy who's on the cover of everything is Hogan, then Rock, then Cena.
Right.
Like, that is the natural progression. And that's the thing, is like, you know, kind
and
of also
Roddy Piper, Stone Cold, CM Punk are all raising their hands like, what do we gotta do?
Well, you know, those are guys that still, like, show up at the company all the time.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if CM Punk will.
Really, the heels are the ones that are actually, you know, decent human beings that would like to come back and work with people? I don't know.
Well, they're also the ones that, don't have, you know, giant movie star contracts.
Well, yeah, because they are more concerned with wrestling.
Yeah.
Than actual, you know, side stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
Again, I've never spent any time backstage with wrestling. It's just from what I've heard. It seems like the guys who are the biggest faces are the biggest jerks in real life.
Well,
I'm sure, like, there's times where people are like, oh yeah, Cena and Rock, they're the nicest guys ever. But then again, I've also heard horror stories of them just being an absolute jerk.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's, you know, it's something where you hear that from somebody who wants to be in that position.
Absolutely.
You hear that
Absolutely. And it's the thing of it is, you never hear the other side of the story.
You never hear the other side of the story. And in a business like wrestling, you know,
you do not burn bridges.
But, you know, every match, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose.
Yep.
It is very, very difficult for two guys to come out of the same match looking good.
Right.
And so, it's, you know, it's a thing where I can definitely see somebody is, you know, not, it feels like top faces are taking all of that looking good opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, there's a big kind of, you know, what's good for the company is, you know, one thing that everybody's got to keep in mind, but how much can you sit there and be a Zack Ryder and, you know, sit there and just be like, what's good for the company is good for everyone. Attitude when it is clearly not good for you.
Dude.
So, that's, you know, that's something, and we'll never know 100% any kind of way.
Unless we get jobs behind the scenes.
Yeah, unless we do that. The closest thing is Mick Foley's books.
Well, yeah, but even then, you're only getting
Mick Foley's perspective, but, well, beyond the fact that he's my super favorite, his books are known for
what?
Yeah, surprise.
His books are known for him having written them himself with no ghostwriters and a lot and saying a lot of bad stuff specifically about Vince, and you know, Vince is publishing because he, you know, they're publishing WWE books, so Vince is publishing books that say bad things about him.
Right.
So, and you know, but at the same time, more power to Vince. You know, good
absolutely,
on Vince for being
absolutely for because I mean a lot of people accuse him of a lot of things. But shying away from certain from stuff like this, you can't really say that about him.
Yeah.
Especially in, I think Vince's stance is if you're going to do it, you better do it well.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it well, we'll stand behind you 100%. Because all it does is bring in more money and more attention for us.
Yeah.
For all of us. So. Well, yeah, definitely good on him.
So. There's not a ton that's good on Vince that we get to say.
No.
And I really like Vince, so I want to really like Vince.
Absolutely. As much as, you know, much of a, you know, cutthroat, you know, iron-handed guy that we all hear about.
Yeah.
You know.
We hear a lot of terrible things about Vince.
And then every now and then you'll see, like, a picture of him holding his grandkid, and like, oh, Grandpa Vince.
God, I love Grandpa Vince.
Okay, so I wanted to bring this up. Just because this is something I don't think we've covered. How do you feel about Fandango and Chris Jericho?
Fandango,
yes.
I will say that, and it's not going to be in the final cut of the slideshow, so I don't mind just spilling out, but I spent a lot of time this week during Raw trying to get a really good Photoshop of Chris Jericho versus that Fandango paper bag that tries to sell you movie tickets.
although, you could at least get a picture of Fandango dancing with his dancing partner, chick, who as little as we know about Fandango, we know even less about this chick.
Yeah.
No name, no nothing, just, geez, I like to dance. In the ring.
No, I must dance.
I must dance in the ring over a somewhat concussed Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. You know? But yeah, get a picture of him dancing right next to Chris from Dancing with the Stars. I feel like no one has touched on that.
No one has touched on...
I feel like that is a definite plot point. Maybe that might not come out until after WrestleMania. I don't know.
Well,
but until then, I'm going to be saying, like, someone needs to bring this up.
Well, things about Fandango. Obviously, somebody has a lot of faith in him. Because he is debuting a match at WrestleMania.
Right.
I wonder how much of that is Chris Jericho.
Exactly. Like, that was the point I was going to make. Because a lot of people are complaining about Fandango and refusing to wrestle and, you know, not really doing a whole lot or whatever you want to call it. But when you think about it, Chris Jericho is at a point in his career where he can pretty much handpick who he wants to fight at WrestleMania. Or who he wants to fight in period.
Yeah, and he didn't...
And the fact that he picked this new character, you know, who they use on a guy who you haven't seen much since NXT Redemption, you know?
Yeah.
You would think Chris Jericho has a lot of faith in this guy.
Chris Jericho sees something. And if Chris Jericho sees something, I'm willing to bet that something's there.
Exactly.
I'm not one to question.
And I mean, just from what we've seen on the brief interaction, it seems like he's incredibly agile.
Yeah.
For one. And I don't know, like, I know it's a simple leg drop off the top rope, but there's something kind of impressive about it.
It was the flat foot jump to the top rope.
That.
Now I was like, all right, well
and
done.
And he cleared a lot of distance.
He did clear a lot of distance.
He didn't get up at height, but he cleared a lot of distance to land it.
There was some talk about how you could hear Chris Jericho talking to him on Raw this week. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, after he had, you know, knocked him out and Fandango was, like, you know, beckons for the mic and is standing above Chris Jericho, you can hear Chris Jericho saying, don't say anything. Do not say anything.
I heard that. I wasn't sure that was Jericho.
Apparently that was Jericho.
And then that's when he did the whole...
And he goes, look at me. And the way the camera angles, you can see him, like, tug on Fandango's pant leg.
Yeah.
And that's when Fandango starts talking. So, it's, you know, I assume what's happening is Chris Jericho is basically you know, giving him pointers, giving Johnny Curtis pointers as to, like, how to...
And also, he's not listening, apparently.
Well, I assume the tug on the pant leg was the signal to, now you talk. Like, I think he's just trying to, like, build that moment.
Okay.
Like...
So, essentially,
And we've talked about, there's, like, the best thing about wrestling, and this is the thing where I was like, if I could convey this to people who don't watch wrestling, they would understand why I watch wrestling. And there are the good wrestlers do the tiniest things that just, like, really cement the character and cement the motivation.
Right.
And, like, and Punk is a golden idol at that. And right. Jericho is a golden idol at that.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's a, you know, a move or a look or a pause at the right spot that just really, and it clicks and it's so good. And the fact that I'm assuming Chris Jericho is, like, really imparting that onto Johnny Curtis, this Fandango character. It's like, you know, you need to pause this amount of time. You need to...
You let certain things breathe.
Yeah.
Know exactly what to say, when to say it.
You want this shot of him looking down at a defeated Chris Jericho. And it's like, he's like, get that. Get that shot.
The whole Say My Name thing, I was just like, I don't know, like, it just seemed... At that moment, it's like, okay, we've got an actual feud here.
Yeah.
We got something real here.
You know, some questions.
And I think this all started a week ago.
Yeah.
And it just escalated quickly. And it makes me think that all this was leading up to it.
Yeah.
And the first interaction with Jericho wasn't even until, like, a month and a half later.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then that's pretty brilliant.
Well.
I think.
Yeah, well... You know, part of the question is, I don't know how long Chris Jericho will be around.
Right.
And that's just how Chris Jericho is nowadays. Right. Which
and
is
I mean, we accept it. He keeps coming back, and we're okay with
it. He does keep coming back.
Because when he comes back, he doesn't take the entire spotlight for himself all the time.
Right. He comes back to lose. That's the kind of the thing he does.
That's what it was, you know, when he was last year. He just lost all the time. And we didn't care. We were just glad to... See him. We were excited about the matches that he was put in.
Yeah,
we got to see a Chris Jericho CM Punk feud. We saw him in a really good Fatal 4-Way at Over the Limit, and we saw him feud with Dolph Ziggler. That was pretty good on its own.
Yeah, I mean, no, Chris Jericho is easily in that, you know, tier of I will watch him, you know, fight Triple H's broom. I won't watch Triple H fight Triple H's broom. I'll watch Chris Jericho fight Triple H's broom though.
Now, would you watch? The broom is on commentary. by itself.
Russell.
King, that was an interesting point. What do you think, broom?
Russell.
Cleaning up this joint.
I mean, well, if it was in place of Lawler.
Very well said.
If it was Colin
Very Broome. Well said.
So, if it, you know, if it was Punk and Broom, if it was Colin Broom, if it was anybody in Broom... So,
fair enough.
Brad
Maddox in Broom.
Watch Brad Maddox in anything.
Did you see him on the, like, they posted a video on the WWE.com of him on Raw Active with Matt Striker this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And his alternate plan for the main event instead of this whole panel with the legends. That was hilarious.
I really want Brad Maddox to work. Like,
right. I think they're pushing him now more as some sort of talking capacity rather than wrestling, which is kind of a shame because we really never got to see, at least in on Raw or SmackDown, exactly what Maddox is capable of.
No, we saw him just lose to Ryback once.
Right, yeah, we saw him, you know, get his butt handed to him, that's it. I do like his ring gear, though. The whole punch, kick thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I was really scared that after the like, Miz TV flub thing... was gonna be blamed on him, put him in a corner.
Right.
I was like, that, no, because he can't come back from
some people, a lot of people are still divided on whether or not that was on purpose, him just screwing up.
I don't think it was. I think there was a lot of, like, he had his script, and I know he was standing out there, and he could see that his script didn't make sense, but, like, he probably had very strict, specific orders to stick.
And very little time to prepare for it.
Right, and it was, you know, they had very thing. You stick to this script. These are the words you say, and he can,
And you can see it, you know, in that moment. He's like, this is not going to make sense when I say it. But
no.
He doesn't, you know, he's probably not the best at rolling with the punches yet, especially on the mic.
And it happens. I mean, look at, when was it? When Miz was hosting the Diva Search or whatever back in the day. Oh, man,
the first,
and he completely corpsed right there as he was giving this long dialogue on exactly what people need to do to vote for their favorite Diva Search or whatever.
Yeah.
And he completely blinked. Looked at his, because he wrote down the phone number on his wrist, and apparently people told him that, you know, that, oh, if you do that, if you forget it, you know, it wouldn't be all that noticeable. Everyone noticed.
It's very noticeable. Miz is, yeah. And then, you know, a few years later, he is really rocking the mic, you know, being champion for WrestleMania 27.
Right.
And now he's kind of like, oh, remember when Miz was relevant?
Right. But one thing you can't really say about him is that he isn't polished on the mic.
No.
That's something that he's always, suit. Yeah, it's going to be his strongest suit. So, I don't know. I love Maddox on the mic. He had that one rough moment. I'm okay. I'm still okay.
I'm still in his corner. I would like to see more Maddox.
I do love Maddox.
One final thing before we wrap up.
Yep.
What do you think the odds of Ziggler cashing in WrestleMania are right now?
I would say about 50-50. I feel like people are really still, at least the people who are behind the scenes that have, you know, a voice in the matter. I feel like they're definitely weighing in. I felt like that. There's part of me that feels like that's been their plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, they wanted Ziggler to do something else that, you know, to make it a little bit, you know, less inconspicuous.
Yeah.
I mean, because I you would think that, you know, with where Ziggler is in the company, which is, regardless of how people want to spin it, he's still pretty vital to the company.
Yeah.
They've shown that. How many times last year was he in two matches at a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
You know, he went like 2 or 3 straight pay-per-views like that. So, I felt like if he wasn't on the card, that would be a definite sign that he was going to cash in. Now that he's on a smaller type match.
Right.
It's more of a possibility. However, I think if they open up with a heavyweight championship match,
mm-hmm.
which they very well probably can because they've done it the past 2 years.
Yeah, they've done that.
Then I don't think he's going to cash in.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right. Fair enough. That was going to be my follow-up. What if, you know, they open up on that one?
If they open up on the tag team championship, it's a definite possibility.
No, I mean,
or if they open up on anything else.
Yeah, just not if it's the heavyweight.
Yeah.
The only way I could see doing that, and we've not seen it done this way before, so I'm curious as to, like, the official rules for that. I'm doing air quotes for officials.
Okay.
The word official. Is if the, you know, whoever wins the world, you open with world heavyweight, somebody wins, but they win at great personal sacrifice, like, you know, clear, broken something, and,
right.
You know, and they are, like, dragged away by either Zeb or Ricardo, whoever, you know.
Right.
But they're the winner, they have the belt, they drag them away. You get the tag team thing, Ziggy and Biggie win the tag team match, and then Ziggler grabs a mic and is like, let's cash in right now, let's bring out our broken champion. And so,
yeah, because we've never seen that.
We've always had a run in,
right?
You know, or Cena, you know, calling his match, but we've always had a run in rather than a call somebody out to the ring. And that you have a very easy, you know, promo to cast on the next week's SmackDown, where he's like, I had my championship, I did my part, I won my WrestleMania match, and my WrestleMania moment was stolen from me.
I feel like if you're the broken champ, though, in that scenario, it's very easy to avoid that. Just never show up and get counted out. Because the belt can't change on
that's,
hands like
that's
that.
Why I was saying I don't know what the official rules are.
Death.
Which, you know, obviously the official rules are something that they can make up on the spot.
Oh, of course. It's something that they choose to ignore for that time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, which is why, you know, if it's Alberto, since he's the face now, he can do it for honor and whatnot.
Right.
And so, or they can say, yeah, the belt's gonna, you know.
I still think the overall purpose they put Big E with him is to serve as that kind of body, well, not just that guard to stand there and make sure no one interferes whenever he does cash it in.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening.
Just have him posted right at the bottom of the ramp.
Yeah.
That's what I envisioned from day one.
So, when he got the microphone now?
I got the microphone now, yeah. I do adore that cat.
I see big things for Big E.
I don't care what it is, but I'm following him.
Twitter celebrity.
He needs to get his own t-shirt, because I will buy it.
Yeah, I'd buy that shirt. I'd buy that for $1.
Because he looks, I'm sorry, he looks like a teddy bear.
He looks like Carlton on steroids.
Okay, there's that. I still say teddy bear.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
Carlton on steroids. As always, you can follow us at CR Attire on Twitter. We will be posting tweets, live tweeting every Monday. And most importantly, we will be live tweeting WrestleMania.
Both of us.
It will be fantastic. Make sure you are following us by WrestleMania. If nothing else, just follow us for WrestleMania and then don't unfollow. But please follow us for WrestleMania.
Exactly. Like
lots of interaction on WrestleMania.
We want to have a big Twitter party.
Yes.
On WrestleMania. And we want you guys to be there. So be sure to you join us, tell your friends to join us, and it'll just be fun. And what you can also do, because next week is going to be our big WrestleMania show, We want your emails, and your thoughts on WrestleMania, whatever they may be, good, bad, what you're looking forward to, what you're not really wanting to see.
Prediction cards. Now would be the time.
There you go. Exactly. Send us your prediction cards to our email. Send us your hate mail. Send it all to glassingringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr, glassingringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast as well as other wrestling shenanigans.
Hey, you. Yeah. Yeah, you. I know you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com. You should leave a comment.
Should leave a comment.
Leave a comment.
Maybe a WrestleMania prediction.
Leave a comment.
Finally, we are on iTunes, so look us up on iTunes. Click the subscribe button. You get new episodes every single week. You maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Maybe give us a review.
5 stars.
Maybe use a verb in that review.
5 stars.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.
Say it real. All right, we'll cut out your huzzah.
Huzzah.
Stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.